Hello. Gilberto.
Yes.
There he is. All right. Well, we've got Tony the Tornado on the call. And my name's Rich.
What's up, Tom?
And we also have the psychic, Tom Padgett. So if you need your crystal ball read, he can tell you.
My crystal ball says good things, Gilberto. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
So we know you're an undefeated fighter, really focused on, you know, staying that way. But you're also, we just were talking about it, calling out some of the biggest names in your division. Tell us, you know, what makes you that type of guy where, you know, you're just going for the best no matter what. And what I was talking about the guys with earlier, you've only fought four guys in your entire career with losing records. So tell us a little bit about your, you know, your fight style and your career so far.
My style is, I think it's different from light heavyweight because I can move and I feel great in this division. And I think it'll be a great fight December 18th with this guy because he come forward. And I don't know. I know how to stop him.
Right. And when did you first start boxing?
Well, I started when I was 12 years old in Mazatlan, Sinaloa.
Mm-hmm. And did it happen because, you know, you just were, you know, in that environment where everybody boxed, or was it because you wanted to learn how to fight because you were getting picked on or something, like you hear a lot of people do?
Well, I just tried to know how to fight because we used to fight a lot in the streets.
Yeah.
And I came to the gym to know how to fight and beat the guy in the street. But as soon as that I know,
awesome.
They didn't fight me, and then is they call like bullying.
Yeah. It goes the other way, right?
I think at that time it was. Yeah, it was a bully that time because we used to fight because we like it.
Yeah.
And sometimes nothing to do, and then we went to different neighbors and they tried to fight with us, and it was. I mean, it was a good young age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so Gilberto, you first came on my a couple years ago. You know, I'm a Philadelphia guy, and I know one of your former opponents, Jesse Hart. I know him. I've been to a couple of his fights in Philadelphia. So I had a fight with him, and I was telling Rich, you know, before we got you on, that when you scored that knockdown in the second round, I mean, we thought it was fight over. And very close competitive fight. You know, you won the decision on that one. You beat him in a rematch. And then I'm looking at some of the other guys that you fought, guys like Tommy Carpensi, who I know, Sullivan Barrera, who's a very good fighter out of Cuba. You stopped him in four rounds. And right now, that puts you right in the middle of a very competitive division. I mean, light heavyweight is one of the divisions to be in right now, with guys like Canelo Alvarez possibly coming up. You got Artur Beterbiev, Joe Smith, a lot of good names out there that, you know, you can put some competitive fights with. Any of them spark any interest in you?
Well, I would like to fight all of them because I know that I'm better than them and I have better skills and I've been up for a great performance, and I've been fighting the fighter that they've been fought before, and like Julian Barrera, no one talking like me, and I think it made me feel really confident because I had the potential to become a world champion, and this is my opportunity because this is for a title eliminator. And that's why it made me so hunger, and make me feel happy for that too.
Awesome.
Very good.
And what do you love most about the sport of boxing?
What I like?
Yeah.
I like the people, I like the environment to feel on the ring. When I step in the ring, the people, it really, the environment is really nice, and I feel the way when I'm in the ring is like really emotional and really passionate. I like to feel the adrenaline so I have someone good in front of me. That's what most of what I like.
All right. Yeah, Tony talks a lot about that. Almost every interview, he's got to ask that one question, right, Tony? About that moment when you're getting ready for a fight.
Exactly. I always would say I would transform when the hands got taped. You know, before that happened, you know, you had that, you know, you'd last a little bit. When the hands got taped, it was almost like, you know, like putting on the game faces, I would say. And that always, you know, meant something to me. And I always, you know, every fighter I talk to, when do you have that mental transformation? Some people, it's when they walk in the arena.
Well, it's in, when I step in the ring, it's like my mind changed. And I just want to hurt the people, and I want to won no matter what, and that's what I feel. Like everything can pass in, everything passed through my mind, and it's such a great feeling for me.
Now, you fought a lot of tough guys. I'm going to ask you a question that's probably the same guy as the answer, but it's kind of a two-part question. Maybe it's two different people, but what was the closest you ever came to having that zero become a one? As in, you know, your first, the closest you came to losing a fight, and who was the toughest guy you ever fought?
And all the guys are being toughest, but I think the most important is myself, because I've been up and down in my life, and I put it this way. Before I was thinking, like, you have great guy in front of you, really prepared, and then you think it's the challenge, right? But it's not. The challenge is to fight yourself, with yourself, because you have to wake up early. Sometimes you don't want to go training, you don't want to do sparring,
yeah.
Want to eat healthy, you want to go party, you want to do something else, but you can't, because you have to do this, because legacy is your life, and you have to become a role model for all those kids that they believe in you, and you want to let that legacy in your life. And I think that's the best, the most important, and being healthy into your mind, because I've been passing in the dark side, like depressed and anxious. That shit is crazy, and that's what I feel like, okay, I'm really prepared, I find myself, and this is not only for me, it's only ego, it's because I want to help people, I want to prove myself, and I want to prove to the people that you can do whatever you want, whatever you believe.
Yeah, it's like the old saying, you know, you can't be in it for the money. You know, you have to have something behind it more than that. And, you know, a lot of people that do great at it, they have whole communities, whole countries in some cases,
yeah,
pulling for them. And, you know, it's a very important motivator. But that's a great point. And yeah. One of the best points I think we've ever had made on that question. Because it is sometimes you're your worst own enemy. Because, you know, you just... Everybody's mind is different.
Yeah,
but,
because sometimes you have a bad thought, and you're thinking, like, even in your partner, in your wife or something, you're thinking, oh, she's cheating on me, what she's doing, do this. It's all, everything is your mind, because it's your mind is not her, it's you that you right. you have to take it yourself first, and then if you're good, you can be good around to everyone, you can help anyone, right? But if not, how you can help people like that? Even you can have a fight like that if you're not good.
Right. Now, who are your role models growing up? Who brought you into the sport, or who did you always have to watch fight, and who did you look up to?
Well, I used to Oscar De La Hoya, Julio Cesar Chavez in YouTube, and I think it was because I want to know how to fight, and that way I get into boxing, and before I didn't think I want to be a world champion. Mm-hmm. I was thinking like, okay, I just want to know how to fight, I want to do some fights, and then as soon as I was like, okay, I don't have to work, I need to make some money from this, and I like it, what I'm doing, and I want to keep going. And I become champion one time, and I was like, damn. But I didn't feel like a champ at that time. Mm-hmm. So like, it was just for money. And then I started falling in love with this sport, more passion, watching boxing more often. And then I felt like, okay, this is what I want to do. And eventually, now I do it because I love it. Before, it was because I just want to make money from that.
And now that you're building this undefeated record, how much pressure does that add, if any? And, you know, what's your secret? If you had to pick one thing that you do, what's your secret to staying undefeated?
Well, it's not a secret. It's wake up early, training hard, training three times a day, and be smart in the ring. That's it. And just have to be like, be healthy, training good, eat good, like, be dedicated in what you do, and that's it. And be smart and hit and don't get hit.
That's a very important one, yeah. I was a defensive fighter when I was in college as a boxer, so I love that mentality. Hit and don't get hit.
And I was an offensive fighter.
Yeah, it's very hard to do, but, you know, if you're good at it, you're good at it. And some of the undefeated fighters that you're creeping up on, matching their records, we were talking about earlier, one of them, Rocky Marciano, of course, 49-0. Floyd Mayweather, the big 50-0. Have you watched those guys? Have you learned about their careers and how they got to where they got?
Well, I've been watching them, and I want to get a 55-0, and that's one of my goals, too.
Wow.
And I think it will happen eventually.
Well, I believe you'll be in special company there, because there are not too many undefeated southpaws that got to the level that you've gotten to. And you are still a southpaw, right? You haven't changed.
Yeah,
so I did research before the interview on that because I was curious myself. And Joe Calzaghe is probably the number one undefeated.
Yeah, that's right. He was, what, 46 though, right?
And he retired that way, though. So that was one of the things that Rocky Marciano was made famous for, not just because he went 49-0, but because he retired undefeated as the champion.
Uh-huh.
So that was what Floyd was trying to beat, yeah. And that's why he was always comparing himself to Rocky when he was trying to beat the 49-0. But Tony and I have the luxury of probably knowing everything there is to know about Rocky Marciano. So if you ever have a question on the guy, no. But I've actually written some stuff that's been in a book, or has been referenced in a book about him.
How can you do it? Rocky Marciano, who would like to, in this era, who would like to see him fighting?
I would love to see what he would have done with either George Foreman or Mike Tyson in their primes.
Yeah, both would have been really good. One of my friends, who just passed away a couple years ago, he was an older gentleman. He trained with Rocky when they were in their 20s, back around 1947, 1948. And he would tell me, before he passed away, he would say, you would never, ever see someone in the gym with that type of effort, ever. He goes, I worked hard, and he put me to shame. And that's what he would say. Then he would tell stories on how he would fight as somebody that had so many disadvantages with height, reach, natural speed.
He was 185 to 189 most of his career and as a professional and fighting at heavyweight. I mean, not a lot of people weighed less than him. I'll tell you that. What's that weight?
No, I don't remember anybody weighing less than him. Maybe by a pound, maybe.
Yeah, so.
But there was a guy who had a real tight defense. He couldn't get through his guard. He went through it, broke the guy's arms, knocked him out. My uncle was at the fight in Philadelphia in 1952 when he won the heavyweight title behind on the cards against Jersey Joe Walcott. He hit him so hard with a right hand, my uncle said it sounded like a shotgun went off in the arena. Those are just, you know, and when, you know, we got to meet his family and, you know, see his statue dedication, and it was, you know, it was powerful. That's the best word I can use to describe it. It was a powerful moment.
Uh-huh. But, Gilberto, I got to tell you, when you were talking earlier about, you know, all the people that are pulling for you and getting up early and, you know, all that stuff, it reminded me a lot of Rocky's story because when he was winning all these fights, people were betting their houses on him. You know, they were paying mortgages on bets that he would win these big fights.
Yeah.
And he literally had, like, the whole town of Brockton, the whole state of Massachusetts, and all in New England, really, pulling for him back in those days. And you know, it was just a big part of who he was. Because back when he started, it was just a local kid that he knew that was kind of like the coach of everybody, even in baseball when they were kids. They got together, and he said, why don't you try fighting? And so he started fighting, and he literally, like, started from nothing. And he had more of a baseball talent than anything and just developed into this crazy good fighter just from hard work and mostly running. He ran like an unbelievable amount. We had one guy on the show who was like one of his best friends. He's died since, but years ago we had this guy on the show.
Uh-huh.
And he talked about how Rocky and he used to run from Brockton, Massachusetts to Providence, Rhode Island. In dress shoes, like, you know, like you'd wear with a tuxedo.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they would hitchhike back, you know, but unbelievable. I mean, what you didn't really have that much to do back in those days, but still, that's a feat.
Yeah.
Always running. And he got in trouble even on his honeymoon, I believe, because he woke up his wife and he was putting on his running shoes. He wouldn't even take a break for his honeymoon. He was going for a run. But anyway, getting back to your career, what would you say is your ultimate goal with all of it?
My ultimate goal?
Yep.
I have different goals. I want to get all the belts and light heavyweight, then move up, bridge over. Way 190, then cruiserweight, heavyweight, because I'm tall and I've been sparring with a heavyweight, cruiserweight, and I think I had the power, I had the skill, and one of my main goals is be a legend, and to help people, because I used to, when I grew up, I was so poor, and people helped me a lot when in my neighbor, and now I have my foundation there in Mazatlan, from where I used to live, and I like to help a lot of kids and any help.
That's awesome. You know, it's one of those things that I miss about the older days, where, you know, the heavyweight champion was more active, you know, and stuff like that. And there was always like a big charity angle to something that they were doing. And you don't see enough of that in boxing these days. Sad. You know, that used to be the big thing. The heavyweight champion, you know, he's a big example. So he's going to go all over the world and, you know, do great things in addition to boxing, but not so much anymore. I don't know. Although, you know, Tyson Fury has done a lot with giving his money to the homeless and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's probably the only example I could think of, really.
I think we had to help things, buy things, some money, clothes, food, anything that we can provide to people in their help. And we had to do it.
Yeah.
And, right?
That's great.
We have to give love to people with love, and that's it, to give love, to teach them how to do, like, the thing, and become a role model, and be a great in something that you do, and help a lot of people. And the most important, help yourself all the time.
Awesome. Well, we haven't heard from our psychic yet, so I'm going to open up the floor to Mr. Padgett.
Well, you know, you guys have asked such great questions. I have a few observations, Gilberto, but first off, congratulations on the success you've had. Just an outstanding career. And I just, your mindset and your work ethic, because a lot of fighters say, you ask them to describe their style, and they'll say, I'm a boxer, but very few really are in that true sense. From what I've watched from you, you are, because I was so impressed in that when you got him in trouble, and you didn't overcommit. You were thinking, I could just tell, you were thinking every step of the way, and just did it the right way. Went to the body. You know, when you have someone really in trouble, you don't want to go head hunting for them, because they move the head, but the body doesn't move.
Yeah,
it's just I just can't say enough about it. I mean, my crystal ball is just saying all kinds of good stuff here for you. I mean, God damn it, because I think you're confident, but not overconfident. You just believe in yourself, and in the mindset, as you know. Level you're fighting at, boxing's three quarters metal at your level, because everybody's good, everybody's in shape, and the so much. And from what I can see and feel, the sky's the limit for you, sir. It really is.
Thank you.
And just one question: as far as training methods, you know, we have fighters that do a lot of the old school stuff, and then there's all kinds of new ideas and machines and stuff. So how do you feel about training for your fight? Are you more just with the traditional stuff, or do you try some new things? How do you approach it?
Well, I'm just I do a traditional stuff, and the only thing new that I change is read more and keep my mind busy, and meditate, and do yoga. Only thing that I do different from other fighters, but I train hard, and I use medicine ball, strength, condition, run, sparring, everything, all traditional.
Awesome.
Well, that meditation and yoga, it explains a lot of your mental abilities in here, and right now, I can see, Jazz, why change success? Keep doing what you're doing, and the sky's the limit. I can't wait to see you in your next fight. And if you win,
proud. Thank you so much. And the thing is, you have to find yourself in meditation. You have to think about yourself. And sometimes we didn't think like we want. We just going for one goal and that's it. And we don't think anything else. And we lose our path. And then we lose our life, right? And but you have to keep continue be focused all the time. And like you say, it can't limit it. And there's no limit, and the limit you, we put ourselves the limit, and that's why we have to spend all the time and do whatever we want, and I mean be healthy, and I think help me on meditation.
Well, you know, for such a young man, you have a maturity way beyond your years. You know, most people, you know, quite a few years to get to that level, so that's very impressive. So I just can't wait.
All right, Gilberto, we're coming up on a half an hour. I want to give you an opportunity before we go to just sell anything you want to sell. Tell anybody where you are online, where they can find you, and if, like you said, you have a foundation, right? If you want to tell people about that?
Yes. I just want to say thank you, everyone. Thank you for your support. And don't miss the fight December 18th. It will be an exciting fight. And you can follow me. Yeah. Turdo Ramirez. And I like to be busy all the time there. And anyone can want to help with, they can send me a message there sometime. I answer by myself when I can. And that's it. Thank you for your support.
You're welcome, and you know, we'll definitely be following you and keeping an eye on you, your career as you move up the ranks, and you know, definitely already you remind me a lot of the Rocky Marciano story. You know, you're just the Mexican version, right? But you know, maybe the heavyweight championship isn't in your future, and maybe you'll really match up to him there.
Yep.
You never know what the future holds, but that's impressive that you're already in the light heavyweight and making your way, but you're already thinking about heavyweight.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Keep gaining weight, I guess, if you're going that route. I don't know if you can do it at Rocky's weight nowadays. 99 to 195.
Well, I don't know if I can do it at his weight, but I will do it to my.
Yeah, awesome. Well, it's been
thank
great.
You.
It's been great chatting with you, and I'd say I wish you luck, but I know you're not going to need that, right?
That's right. That's right. My crystal ball has a big W lighting up on my crystal ball. I see. Okay.
Thank you, and wish me success all the time.
That's it.
All right. Have a good night, Gilberto.
All right.
See you later.